Welcome, and we're glad you're here. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord and to worship and to hear what he has to say, especially with all the things that are going on around us in the world today, and just there's a lot of turmoil. But praise God that he is on the throne, that he is in control. And sometimes we think, is he really? We question. But his word is always true, and it's always right, and it's holy. And we just give praise for that. And we're continuing our study through Romans. And last week, Josh preached on Romans 6, 1 through 14, in which the main theme of that was, shall we continue in sin? And we're going to continue that through today. And the last verse of this chapter probably is a verse that most of you learned in Sunday school at a very young age. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life. In whom? Christ Jesus our Lord. And whether you learned that in Awana or Sunday school, or your parents taught it to you in the kitchen table, eternal life. Think about that. What does that mean? And it's hard to wrap our mind around that concept, something that we don't see. Nobody in history living on this planet has seen that. And so sometimes it's difficult to grasp. Is what is the enormity of that? What does that look like? But yet, all throughout Scripture, God teaches it is eternal life if we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, what his work did on the cross for us. And so last week when Josh finished that in verse 14, his first sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And praise God for that. So let's pick up there and continue reading through the end of the chapter. And he starts out, what then? I mean, he asks this question. Following on after that statement, shall we continue in sin? And he says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves to obedience or for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? Where are you at? Verse 17, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification. And the outcome? Eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you for this passage. I mean, for the entire Bible, everything that you wrote, 66 books, numerous authors, and yet the message doesn't change. In the beginning, God created. And at the end, God and Christ will reign on the throne. in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven, the new earth. And all throughout is the gospel of Jesus Christ, from the Old Testament to the New. The cross was planned before the foundation of the world. Lord, we just give you praise for that fact. Open our hearts and our minds today as we read. Teach us what you would have us know. Each of us needs to know something different because we're in a different spot. But just touch us that we might know you in a far deeper way. And ask your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. So as he starts out there in verse 15, Paul asks that question, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin resulting in death, or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Again, what then? I mean, this sets up the whole passage. And Thomas Schreiner, in his commentary on Romans, he says, the question in verse 15 should be examined carefully. The question is precipitated by verse 14, right before it, which affirms that believers are not under law, but under grace. Paul responds in verse 15 to a wrong implication that one could draw from the truth of verse 14. Even though believers are no longer under the commands of the Mosaic law, they are not free to pursue a life of sin. The words under law designate redemptive history. In other words, one could mistakenly conclude that one is free to sin since a new era of redemptive history has dawned. Asserting that believers aren't under law doesn't mean that they're free from doing the will of God. Believers are free from the power of sin, which was indissolubly connected with the Mosaic covenant. To say that believers are under grace means that they now have the power to keep the law of Christ, whereas in the law of Moses, you couldn't because Christ was not here. The law of Moses was there to reveal sin, to make sin known, and bring it to your mind, but it did not give you the power to flee from it. You were still in sin, and we needed the cross of Christ to free us from that, and the grace. And grace was there from the beginning, and it was exemplified in many lives of people who lived: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, their wives, many other people, Elijah, Elisha, etc., it goes on. But Christ needed to come to the cross to truly pay the price for all sin for all time. So if we're truly covered by grace, then a little sin among friends is okay, right? God says, may it never be. You can't go there. And so many of the people in this world today continue that pattern. It's okay to do bank fraud. Yeah, a little bit, right? Usually ends up in pretty bad. Usually end up going someplace you didn't want to go. And look at what's coming across the border with fentanyl and the drug use and so on. And so many people are being trapped in that lifestyle. And sadly, those that are coming with it, many of the cartels are forcing especially young girls, but also young boys, into a trade that is extremely illicit. And I grieve at that. But there are so many people in this country that on the recipient end of all of that stuff, fentanyl, whatever the case may be, cocaine, and I'm sure there are harder drugs than those, but a little abuse, that's okay. I'm not hurting anybody. But God says, may it never be. Where are we pursuing? What are we pursuing? What are we a slave to? There in verse 16. Do you not know when you present yourselves to someone as slaves? And that word slaves is the word doulos. It means bond slave. You are a slave on your own volition. You have chosen. You weren't taken as a slave as many of those who were the Irish immigrants in the potato famine that were taken as slaves and brought to this country. Those from Africa were taken from their country. Slavery has been here since time began. It's not just something new. It is despicable, yes, and we need to speak against it at every turn. There are those that had no choice, as many of these children are taken today and pushed into a trade that is just horrible. But they didn't have a choice. Here, you are a bond slave. You have a choice. What are you serving? What are you aligning with? And you are willingly saying, God, I want you, no matter the cost. And if you don't know Christ, then usually you're signing up for whatever that person is pushing, whether it's drugs or an illicit lifestyle or something else. But you're okay with it. Or it's theft. The crime that we see going on in the cities of this country today and some of the videos that are out there, like the two policemen there in New York that were assaulted by, what, a dozen at least, young men and beaten badly. But those men, and there are some ladies too, that are part of those gangs, they have signed into. There's a term of, I don't quite know the term, but it's opting in, and you have to go through a ceremony to get into that gang. And it usually means being beaten severely. But you've chosen to go there for whatever reason. And then you find out maybe that wasn't such a good idea. Now you want to opt out. The beating is going to be far worse because they don't want you to go out. But still, you have made that choice. And that's what God's talking about here. Where is your allegiance? Where are you setting your slavery? Because you're going to be a slave one way or the other. Which camp are you in? And if it's righteousness, then praise God. Because he has the absolute best for you in mind. Doesn't mean that it may not be a hard life. It may not mean you still have a lot of issues to work through and to experience. Maybe you're from a broken home. Or you have no job, or whatever the case might be. But God is still there. And we have seen, just over the past, what have been our prayer ministry now, 8 weeks, roughly, we have seen some unbelievable things happen, just as this little body of believers is praying. And I thank you so much for that. It is precious and what God is doing in our midst. It's unbelievable. And yet he has greater things planned. And hallelujah, what are those? We don't know. And prayer is hard work, and I'm a little off topic here, but prayer is extremely difficult. And if you're incredibly busy, it's okay. You're behind the steering wheel driving down the road and just talk to God. Turn the radio off, whatever chat group you're listening to or whatever, because there's a million of them out there. And just talk to him. You don't have to be really flowery, oh, Holy Father, you know, do this and do that. Just say, God, I've got this going on today, and I need help. Or I've got calves that are coming, and the weather's not really wonderful, and I need help. Or whatever it is. But he's there. He's waiting. He's wanting to hear. But are we slaves to him? Verse 17, thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. You committed yourself, your heart, to Christ and the teaching that he brings with it. And you've been freed. You've been set free. It's very much like 1776, what our forefathers set forth on this country, to free themselves of the bondage of imperial worship from the King of England and to set up a land of freedom. Christ has set up something that is far superior. Verse 18, we've been freed from sin. You've become slaves to righteousness. And what does that require? It requires that we walk in those terms and we repent. And repent means that we turn 180 degrees. We were going this way, whatever it was, and no, we are now going to go this way. And the temptation from that, Satan is going to come after you because he had you and he wants you back. But are you going to remain steadfast and in the presence of Jesus Christ? Luke 20, verse 6. Slaves to the one you obey. It's the story of the vineyard owner, and he rented it out to others, and they're doing it, and they're profaning it. I'm being very loose here, I apologize, but the landowner comes back and he sees what's happening and what they've done, and he's extremely upset. In Luke 20, verse 6, he says, he, the landowner, will come back and he will put these vine growers to death and will give the vineyard to others. However, when they, the vine growers, heard this, they said, may it never happen. You can't do that to us. How does that sound like? I mean, this was written 2,000 years ago. How much does that sound like today? We're squatting in this house just because you weren't here and we moved in. We haven't paid anything. Or whatever it is they're doing. You can't get rid of us. We were here. We're doing this. And God is going to say, no. They will be put to death at some point. Matthew 25, we've talked about that passage many times. When at the end, when God puts the goats on the left and the sheep on the right, and he questions them, did you see me in need? And the goats will say, no, we never saw that. When did we see you? In jail or in prison or diseased or whatever they might be. And he says, you didn't. Depart from me. And they descend into hell. Saying the passage here in Luke is repeating that same thing. This verse can be read a little bit differently, but it applies the same thing. 1 Corinthians 6, 15 and 16. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two will become one flesh. In that act, which should be marriage in holy matrimony, you do become one flesh. But if you corrupt that, God will turn you over And this applies to a wide variety of things. But it's, what are you a slave to? Where are you aligning your heart and your mind? And in that last verse 17, you became obedient from the heart. It's an issue of the heart. So then the next part, slaves of. All of these have a question mark. The first one was, shall we sin? No. So if we're to be slaves, what are we to be slaves of? Romans 6, 19 through 20. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. Big word. What does that big word mean? It means to be set aside, to be separate, to be consecrated, to be holy. God has, if we accept what Christ did on the cross, God has made us holy. Now, therefore, we are to walk in holiness. Doesn't mean you're not going to sin? No, it doesn't mean that. You're still going to have issues. But are you striving to pursue that which is of Jesus Christ? What is the weakness of the flesh? For Paul in 1 Timothy 1:13, he says, even though I, Paul, was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. We know Paul's history. Yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. I refused to believe that Jesus Christ existed, let alone that he was Lord, let alone that he was God. And therefore, because of that, I chose to persecute people. I chose to murder people. I sat there as Stephen was stoned, and I held the coats of all of those who did the act. And even though I threw no stone, I'm equally guilty because he sat there and watched. And he probably also voted when they said, what shall we do with Stephen? Stone him. So he was a bystander, but he was also an aggressor, a violent aggressor. And he pursued many Christians. But Paul says, you used to be a slave of sin, but now present your bodies as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. John 8, verse 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. That's 31. Sorry, Angela, I probably led you astray there. If you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. Verse 32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him. So we're no longer in bondage, we're free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been yet enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? They don't get it. They don't understand. Verse 34, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. You have chosen to enter into that arena, that walk, that lifestyle. And at that point, you've chosen to separate yourself from the cross of Christ. And you have denied his resurrection power and what he can do. And so they were slaves. They could set themselves self-righteously and say, we're descendants of Abraham. We've never been enslaved. So how can that be? Because you sinned from the very beginning. A couple weeks ago, we talked about that original sin. That at the point of conception, you have that. And that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, with the point that they chose to sin. And it was truly not Eve that sinned. She was deceived. But Adam willingly, knowingly stood there as the protector and let, although he really didn't have a choice, but he still did, and sinned. And sin entered the world. And so people are still falling into that. We are slaves to sin until we come to know Christ. Matthew 6:24. This still goes, you could use this verse, typically this verse is used in a sermon about money and where are you, how are you handling money, those kinds of things. But it deals with the whole issue of being a bond slave. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. What are you a slave to? Are you a slave to your paycheck? Are you a slave to, I gotta have more? It's never enough. I've got $17 bazillion and I want the world. You could be Elon Musk or any of those guys or ladies, because there are some ladies that are equally in that platform. It's never enough. What are you a slave to? So if that's true, then the last point, what benefit? What benefit are you getting from this choice that you've made? What's in it for you? Because in this day and age today, it's all about me. And what's in it for me? And what am I going to get for doing this job? Or how about if I just not do the job and Joe Biden, you're going to pay me and I'm going to get all this. I can just lay on my couch and play video games and stay on my phone and life's great, right? And all these taxpayers in the United States, you got to feed me so I can still lay here on my couch and do whatever I want to do, right? And sadly, we are. And unfortunately, it's leading us to a lot of bad places. But what benefit are you getting in making this choice? Verses 21 through 23. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, being freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, that word again, resulting in holiness. And the outcome, eternal life. That's the main point of this entire sermon. It's the main thing. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What benefit are you deriving? Because if you're in the camp of sin, it's eternal death. It's eternal separation. All of the things about hell are true. It's eternal darkness. It's complete separation. People talk about, man, are we going to have a great party in hell? We're going to have all my friends, all the booze that I want, or whatever, and we're just going to have a great time. No. The darkness is so impenetrable, you could be standing this far away from your next bestest friend and you would never know they're there. Because you can't communicate. You can sit there and scream and holler all you want to, but God has imprisoned you in that place because you rejected his son, the one and only. Your flesh is permanently, eternally being burned, but yet never consumed. Worms are eating your flesh, but never being consumed. All of those things are true. And that's what lies in wait for those who choose not to be a slave to God. Jeremiah. I just have verses 1 and 13, and I may read 14 here as well. But read this passage, Jeremiah 12. This afternoon. It's a beautiful prayer from Jeremiah as he's talking to God. And he starts out Jeremiah 12, verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, that I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Great question. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? Doesn't that sound like today? And at the end of that, God says, they have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. They have, this word is so great, they have strained themselves at no profit because of what? The fierce anger of the Lord. And if we, let's go to that passage, Jeremiah 12. Thus says the Lord, verse 14, concerning all my wicked neighbors who strike at the inheritance with which I have endowed my people Israel, behold, I am about to uproot them from their land and will uproot the house of Judah from among them. And it will come about after I have uprooted them, I will again have compassion on them and I will bring them back, each one to his own inheritance and each one to his land. Verse 17, but if they will not listen, then I will uproot that nation, uproot and destroy it. If we choose to be slaves of sin and never accept the free gift of grace, God is going to uproot us and destroy us. But if we believe, eternal life is that which waits. Praise God. Just this prayer that Jeremiah is talking about. Praise God, he is long-suffering, because he is. All of us sitting here are a direct result of that statement. Because if that's not true, none of us would be sitting here. We'd have died somewhere out there because of some decision that we made. Grace abounds. Are you free? Resulting in sanctification, that word is hagiosmos, to be set aside, holy. This statement is, this was in the commentary as defining that word. It's the use of the believer being progressively transformed by the Lord into his likeness. It doesn't just happen all at once. Your transformation, that journey of holiness, is lifelong. God is continuing to teach you, continuing to reveal to you, because you can't handle everything at once. You don't have his mind. You don't have his character. But it's a progressive journey. It's a lifelong journey in walking with our Savior and allowing him to teach us and to guide us. So what are you a sin? What are you a slave of? Where are you choosing to camp and to act? And may we choose this day to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this, for your word. Romans is a heavy topic, but sin is real. And so many in today's society want to treat it as it's flippant, it's winsome, it's no big deal. And sadly, we fall into that trap. I can handle that. I can handle just a tiny bit of whatever that sin is. The trouble is that tiny bit leads to a slightly larger bit and a slightly larger bit until pretty soon it consumes you. Consumes me. Father, help us to yield our hearts and our minds to you in totality and to reject the thoughts that Satan puts in our minds, to reject the sin that confronts us, that approaches us, that seems so easy, but it's not. Father, bind us to the cross of Christ, which is holy and true. and that we pursue the gift of grace in all totality, all that we have within us, because it's Christ who went to the cross and the grave to pay for us. We just ask for that blessing to be poured out upon us. Give us the strength to walk as you would desire. In Jesus' name, amen.